In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this joyous feast of the Nativity of the Most Holy Mother of God. Well, we've probably heard the story by now, but it comes to us from sacred tradition that Mary's parents were Joachim and Anna. They were righteous people, and they unfortunately had not had any children, and in those days it was considered almost the purpose of life, really, to have children, you know, because the Jewish people knew that eventually the Messiah would be born from their people, and so it was considered a great blessing by God to have children, and if someone didn't have children, that was considered almost a curse, really. So there was a time it was on a feast of the Jews, when Mary's father Joachim went to the temple to make an offering to God, and the priest that was there refused to accept his offering, saying that he was unworthy, you know, because God had not blessed them with children, therefore, you know, just get out, you know, we don't want to see you anymore, you know, this kind of thing. And Joachim was you know, deeply hurt by this and wounded, and he literally went out into the wilderness and just felt terrible, and prayed to God with tears that God would grant his wife a child, just as he had granted Abraham's wife Sarah a child in her old age. And I believe that it's speculated that they were well into their 60s, so they're, of course, well past the age of childbearing. Well, at the same time, as it turns out, St. Anna, Mary's mother, was praying exactly for the same thing back in her garden in their house in Jerusalem. Well, God heard their prayers and sent the Archangel Gabriel to each of them with the news that they had been granted to become the parents of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, who would become the mother of the salvation of the world. And so their sorrow was changed into joy. Saint Joachim was a descendant of King David, and so the prophecy that Christ would be born of the house of David was fulfilled. And you can see on that icon, there's all these things going on. You know, it's not just like one moment. It's you know, out of time, really. So you have Joachim in this wilderness, standing on the rock all by himself, and he's very sad. And then you see the angel coming to him, and he's very happy. And there's this tree that's sprung up, you know, right on the icon. And that's, of course, indicating the blessing that they received. Well, last night at Vespers, the Holy Church provided three readings from the Old Testament for our benefit that prefigure the Most Holy Mother of God. The first is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 17, recounting the visionary dream that Jacob had. And as he slept, he saw a ladder reaching up from earth to heaven, and the angels ascending and descending along this ladder. And God himself appeared and promised that he would bless and keep Jacob's seed. And Jacob, when he awoke, blessed the stone on which he had slept. He put a stone under his head. And he blessed it with oil, and he called the place Bethel, that is to say, house of God. And Mary, whose motherhood was the human condition necessary for the incarnation, is in herself a ladder between heaven and earth, because by Christ becoming incarnate through her very flesh, she's this, you know, ladder, or this bridge between heaven and earth. And so this Jacob's ladder really is a prefiguring of the Mother of God. She who carried her God in her womb is truly that place, Bethel, of which Jacob could say, "This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." The second reading is from Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 27 through chapter 44, verse 4, and it refers to the future temple, which is shown to the prophet Ezekiel, which prefigures the virginity and the motherhood of Mary. And as it says, one of the lines from that verse says, "This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut." And then the third reading was from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, and it presents us with a personified divine wisdom. It says that wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Well, the Orthodox Study Bible has some interesting footnotes that say that wisdom actually represents Christ. He actually is Christ, and he built his house. And this house is, first of all, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, for he was, you know, housed, he was conceived in her womb. But secondly, his house now is also the church. And this house is built on Christ, on the Mother of God, and on the apostles and the prophets. Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And the seven pillars of the church signifies the Holy Spirit, who is called the seven spirits of God, according to Revelation 3:1. These seven spirits are the graces of the Holy Spirit that rested on Christ: wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, godliness, and the fear of God. So the house of God is founded upon really the virtues, which brings down the grace of the Holy Spirit to us. St. John Maximovich pointed out that the church's liturgical year really literally begins with the feast of the Nativity of the Mother of God, and then the liturgical year ends with her dormition, when her translation from this earthly life into the heavenly life. And as Bishop Callistos Ware notes, the birth of Mary may be seen as marking the inauguration of the scheme of salvation. With her birth, we begin already to look forward to the birth of her Son, and so to the redemption that he accomplished in the flesh. In the eighth ode of the Matins canon that we just had this morning, it says, "The preordained tabernacle of our reconciliation with God now begins to be." And as we heard last night at Vespers, today grace begins to bear its first fruits. So we see the prefiguring, even in the very divine services, of this whole new cycle, this whole new church year that we've just really begun. The Holy Fathers have written most eloquently about the Most Holy Theotokos and how, next to our Lord Jesus Christ, she represents the very best and highest of the human race because of her purity and her virtues and her obedience. And of course, we understand she's now at the right hand of Christ in the kingdom of heaven, even higher than the angels, which is pretty amazing considering, you know, for a human being to have achieved that. She is the fulfillment of all the hope and expectation for the coming of the Messiah that was prophesied and foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And she also represents the very beginning of the New Testament by her humility and obedience to God's will in becoming the mother of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. So in a sense, just in we also look at St. John the Baptist in a similar way, because he sort of fulfills the highest of the Old Testament, but he proclaims and ushers in the beginning of the New Testament by proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, and of course through his baptism. Well, Mary does the same thing. She's prefigured, she really is prefigured throughout the Old Testament in the preparation of the coming of the Messiah, and she is the coming of the Messiah, because through her the Messiah came. And so she's really stands at the juncture between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and ushers in the whole, you know, beginning of the church. And of course, we know that she spent her years after the ascension of Christ into heaven helping and encouraging the apostles and visiting the places where the Lord, all the various events of his life that happened, you know, like a pilgrim. And just as our Lord became the second Adam in his redemption of the human race, you know, because of his obedience, so the Most Holy Virgin Mary became the second Eve. And together, the Lord and his Most Holy Mother blotted out this ancestral sin of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, who brought about the fall of mankind through their disobedience of God's commandment. O Most Holy Lady Theotokos and Virgin Mary, pray to Christ, your Son and our God, for us Christians of these end times, that we may be granted the grace of the Holy Spirit to overcome the passions and acquire the virtues, that we may be counted worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven when we depart this life. Glory be to our God.